Let's look to the Lord for help. Our God and our Father, we thank Thee for Thy Son, the Lord Jesus. And truly we can say, hallelujah, what a Savior. And so we just pray for each one in this room here this evening. Thou knowest the heart. Thou knowest how to touch each heart. We just pray that our hearts would be drawn to this blessed Savior that is ours. And so we just cast ourselves upon Thee and pray for Thy help and encouragement. Thank Thee in the Lord Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
We could turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Been asked to keep it a little short, so I have to kind of pick and choose what I want to share. And trust the Lord to help. Matthew 13, verse 52. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Well, we can look at this verse and we can really see that the Lord, as it were, could be that householder. And no doubt he's got treasures that he possesses. And when he came, he not only helped us and help those in Israel to understand that which was old, the Old Testament. But he also had so much that he wanted to share that was new. And we know they weren't able really to take it in because they weren't dwelt with the Spirit of God. And so we see how the Lord expounded things that were new and old. But I also like to think of each one of us, we are like households. And we all possess treasures. Treasures that we've been given by the Lord. Things that we've enjoyed in our lives that are very valuable. And so I'd like to give you something that's new. And what I mean by new, it's fresh with me, that the Lord gave me. But then at the end, I'd like to share something that's old, that I got when I was about 19 years old. And I treasure it to this day. And so there are things in your life, as you get older, the treasures increase. We trust. If you're walking with the Lord, your treasures are going to increase. And you'll be able to share one with another these treasures that are dear to you. What might be dear to me may not be as dear to you. But it depends on what the Lord passes us through to give us these treasures. And so, if we could turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Second Corinthians chapter 1. It was about a week ago, my brother Mark called me and asked me if I could share something with the young people. I didn't know if I could. Because, you know, I want to give something. I would like to give something, not just old. That can be very precious. Something that I've enjoyed years ago, maybe, or a year ago. But I wanted to give something that was fresh. Something that the Lord has given me. But at this time, I was struggling with a disappointment in my life. And I wondered, the Lord, I really did, I told them I would have to pray about it. The Lord could give me something fresh during this time of a disappointment in my life. And He did. Dear ones, every single one in this room has struggled with disappointments from the youngest. What do we do in disappointment? Where do we find hope? How do we get out of that disappointment? Can we get out of that disappointment? And so I thought of these verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. I met Him. All of us, I trust, have met the God of all mercies. The Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort. Verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. And so I'm sure each one here, there could be some disappointments that you're struggling with right now in life. And I'd like to share with you how He comforted me. You notice it says, the end of verse 3, it says, the God of all comfort. He is the God. All comfort. No true comfort comes apart from Him. He is the God of all comfort. True comfort comes from God. We're passing through a period that is regulated by time. We call it time. And the difficulty of going through this period of time is that things change. Things are temporal. Disappointments come a lot. And so how can He comfort us? In a time, we're passing through time. We can't escape that, as it were. How does He comfort us? When things are constantly changing, disappointments come. Day by day. The disappointment might last for 2 hours, it might last for 2 years. How do we find comfort? True comfort comes by giving us that which is eternal. I don't know if I can make it clear. Everything here is temporal. The only true security we have in this life is that which is eternal. He weans us from those things that are temporal, that we might lay hold on that which is eternal. And who is that eternal one? It's the Lord Himself. In Hebrews, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It also says, Thou art the same, as in Psalms. And Malachi says, He changes not. That's the only place. He removes us, as it were, from time. and places us and gives us that which is eternal, that which changes not. That's our true comfort. That's our only true comfort. We're not going to find it in this life. No, the Lord gave me what He gave me, I will forever treasure. You know, that night, I went to bed, exhausted, tired. And I woke at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I prayed the Lord that He put me back to sleep, because that disappointment came pretty heavy on me. And I didn't want to think about it. I didn't want to think about it. I didn't want to deal with it. I just wanted to go back to sleep. Well, I did. At 3:30 in the morning. You know, I think of Jacob. When did the Lord wrestle with Jacob? At night. Have we ever wrestled with the Lord? Or disappointment that's happened? He's the one to go to. And the Lord won. But you know what I learned? It's disappointment. Disappointments are His divine appointments. Disappointments are His divine appointments. And it can be a very special time. Nebuchadnezzar could say, none can stay His hand. And so if we can take it from His hand and realize that these disappointments that come into life are His divine appointment. He wants to meet with each one of us in our disappointment. And so I started. And that's why it's so good when you're young to take up with the Scriptures. Read the Scriptures. Know the Scriptures. And there might be times where you can't pick up the Word of God. And you can go back to things that you've enjoyed in the past. And they can be a refreshment to you. And so, I thought of those in Scripture who had disappointments. I almost want to say, do you know of anyone in Scripture that didn't have disappointments? If we could turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. First Kings 19, I don't have time to go through it at all. I just want to read the first part. I think we should all know the story very well. But this man had a great disappointment in life. And we'll see how he tried to overcome that disappointment. It was a failure in his life. But what I find very interesting is I don't think there was anyone else that knew about his disappointment. It was between him and the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough. O Lord, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." There had been a great victory. The Lord had used Elijah in a great victory in this land of Israel over Baal. And it was an outward show, you might say, of what the great work the Lord was doing. But then we see Elijah. It seems he thought that there was going to be a great, as it were, a great revival in the land. There was the work, the Lord was doing a mighty work. It seems that's what Elijah expected. He was disappointed. Wasn't the case. Jezebel wanted to take his life. Here it seemed his life was going to end. Here it was just the beginning of this great work of God. And his life was going to be taken by this woman, he thought. And what did he do? What did he do in the time of disappointment? Did he seek the Lord? Do you seek the Lord? Time of disappointment. You cry out to the Lord that he would give you what's needed to go through it. He may not see fit to deliver us. Elijah ran, and he ran. Says he journeyed for 40 days. He went as far as he could go, the other end of the land of Israel. He was running away from the situation. You can't run away from the situation because it's his divine appointment. He is the one that allowed that disappointment in your life. Are you going to take it from his hand or are you going to run? Elijah ran. He's a great man of God. Maybe you're here, but in heart, you're a long ways from here. You're headed the wrong way. What does the Lord say, though? He says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Did he say, "Okay, Elijah, that's it. I'm done with you"? No, he didn't. But I think what Elijah needed, he was in the midst of a lot of commotion, and the Lord was using him for that. He was a great blessing to the people of Israel. But he needed to hear something, and it's what we need to hear. Later on in the chapter, I want to look at this and then move right on because we don't have time. Verse 12. "And after the earthquake of fire," well, maybe I should be in verse 11. "And he said, 'Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire.'" Elijah knew something of these things and how the Lord had moved in these things. But that's not how the Lord is going to speak to him now. What Elijah needed was to hear a still, small voice. He needed to get away from all the commotion that he might hear a still, small voice. So it is with each one of us. Sometimes we want to drown things out with whatever it might be. I don't have to name it. So that we just want to cover it up as it were, and move on. Just, I want to go to sleep. I don't want to deal with this. But it's to that very hour that he wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you. But it was a still, small voice. Everything else needs to be shut off. Everything else put away. The Lord wants to speak to you. In your disappointment, it's his appointment. And Elijah heard his name. He said, Elijah. He called him twice. What are you doing here? Oh, Elijah was consumed with himself. And the failure of the people, and not his own. Well, the Lord told him to go back. And he was obedient to what the Lord said. He'd heard that still small voice, and it moved him back into the path of obedience and faith. He got what he needed. And there's much more, but that's probably as far as I should go. And so he wants us to hear that still small voice. But we need to be quiet. We need to be in a state that we can hear it. I want to look at one more, really quick. I appreciate it very much from John, I think it's chapter 20. Another disappointment, another one I thought of that night, those 3.5 hours. I treasure it now. Another one I thought of was Mary Magdalene. We know Mary Magdalene was the one in whom the Lord had cast out the 7 demons. The Lord healed that woman, and she was attached to him. But here comes a time of incredible disappointment for all those who had their trust and followed him. Disappointment was great. What did Mary do in this great time of disappointment? Everybody else went to their own homes. What were they supposed to do? What did Mary do? What did Mary do? And that's what we need to do. What Mary did. Verse 11, chapter 20, verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth 2 angels in white sitting, and one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. She valued his dead body. He's alive today. Do we value the living Lord in glory? She valued his dead body. What did she want to do? Verse 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. This was a divine appointment, wasn't it? Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Did he know? He's drawing our heart out. He wants to draw out our heart. Who are we seeking after? What are we seeking? Whom seekest thou? What did she say? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto her, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. She wanted to take his dead body. That's how much she was attached to him. Her affections. He had won her affections. Has he won your affections? He wants to win our affections. And it's often through disappointment that he wins our affections to himself. And so there he is. He knew Mary was going to be there. And he met her where she was. She wasn't like Elijah, or like the two Emmaus. Were they disappointed? Yes, they were. But he had a divine appointment with them. He met them where they were. Verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Mary. Just like Elijah. He said, Elijah. What does Mary say? She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. As we've heard it said, Rabboni, it's to say, Master of my heart's affection. That's what he wants. That's what he got from Mary. In her disappointment, she found the one who was the master of her affections. What are our affections drawn after? Scripture tells us what to set our affections on. It's nothing temporal. Set your affections on things above. It's those things that are eternal. Those things that are lasting. Those things are going to last for all eternity. Everything here is going to be wiped away. So I enjoyed that these two found, they were disappointed. And we have disappointments in life. But the Lord met them where they were. One maybe headed off in a path not in accordance with the Lord's will. The other one found herself, wanted to be as close as she could be to the Lord. And so that's something that I enjoyed. The Lord gave me. That was helped me and helped to relieve my disappointment. But then something that was old came to me. I want to share that with you. That has been a stay in my life since I was your age. I had a disappointment in my life. That lasted for 5 to 6 years. And this is what kept me. I was young, I didn't know much. But this was something that, as I thought of these other ones, this first came to me, and I wept. I treasure it very highly. In Psalms 18, that's all I could do is to quote this verse over and over to myself. And so it's something that I continually have to go back to. I hadn't thought of this earlier as I was reeling under this disappointment, but the Lord gave it to me that night. And I found rest. Psalm 18 and verse 30. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. We don't always know the way that He leads us. But dear ones, you have to trust. what this says. And you'll have blessing in your life. As for God, His way is perfect. Let Him lead you in the way. And there'll be a great blessing. You know, I think of that that verse in Psalms that says, when passing through the valley of Baca, it says, I think it might be in the Darvish translation, it says, they make it a wellspring. The valley of Baca is, you might say, it's the valley of weeping. The valley of disappointment, trial. It says, they make it a wellspring. What does that mean? Well, I've enjoyed it in this way. To dig a well, it takes a lot of strength. It takes exercise to dig a well. It takes a lot of work to dig a well. But at the end, there's refreshment. There's water that will refresh you. And so in the midst of a trial or difficulty, if we're in exercise about it, the Lord's going to bring in refreshment. The Lord's going to refresh us. But then it says, make it a wellspring. What I enjoyed with that is, once you've dug that well, that water is there. And all you have to do is go back and dip the water. There's no more exercise or, as it were, strength. You don't have to re-dig that well. It becomes, as it were, a spring to you. And you can always go back and dip from that well again. And so the Lord causes disappointments in life, trials in our life. And through those, we might, as it were, dig a well. And that later in life, those things that we gleaned in the presence of the Lord, they'll come back to us and refresh us when we need them. This little verse, as for God, His way is perfect, is a spring to me. I don't need to re-dig it, as it were. It's there for me. And so I just wanted to share that with you, that yes, we're going to have disappointments in this life, but always remember that they are His divine appointments. He wants to come and make Himself known to you in a way you've maybe never known before. And you can go through different ones in Scripture and see where the Lord brought in disappointments, trials in their life, and where the Lord met them and refreshed them and brought them, drew them to Himself. And there was growth for each one. And so, no doubt you have experienced disappointments, but if we're left here, they'll continue to come because the Lord wants to meet with you. And sometimes it's only through disappointments that He can get our attention, because it might just be a still small voice that He wants to speak to us. He wants Himself to be master of our affections. Let's think. Our God and our Father, we just thank Thee for Thy tender mercies to us. Thank Thee that each one here is very dear to Thee. Thou knowest which each one here is passing through. And what's to come if we're left here, Lord? Thank Thee. Thou art able to meet each one in their circumstance, in their disappointment, and refresh them and give them that which is needed to sustain them, to go on in the path of faith. So we thank Thee, Lord. We thank Thee for the disappointments Thou hast allowed in our lives. We take them from Thy hand and seek thy grace to go on in the path of faith. So we just give you thanks, Lord Jesus, in thy precious name. Amen.
Amen.